And we're back! Wow! It's episode 44 of Fresh Floppies. What's up to all our sidekicks and henchfolk out there in the Geek Nation? You are listening to Fresh Floppies. We took a little bit break, but we're back. We're going to talk about the newest books that are on the shelves today, and we're going to avoid spoilers.
Nailed it. Wow, that was really well done.
We haven't done it that efficiently in a while. I feel like maybe we should just kill some time.
It's the first
time. You just want to talk about, how you been?
I'm not feeling well. My lungs hurt.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
comic books made me feel better, starting with Ultimate Spider-Man number 3 from Marvel by Hickman and Chichetto and Wilson.
You were about to say Brian Michael Bendis, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Jonathan Hickman is his name. Marco Chichetto, Matthew Willis, Wilson, VC's Corey Petit. What did you think of this book?
So really liked issue 1.
Yes.
Really liked issue 2.
Yes.
Really like issue 3.
Yes.
This is starting to become the Captain America by Brubaker problem.
Oh, it's where, just, what do you say differently?
What do you keep saying differently other than just kind of, I want to avoid just, relaying the cool things that happened in the plot that made me excited, but the same compliments are the same. I love the pacing of this book. I love the tone of this book a lot. My favorite characters right now are Ben and Jonah.
And Jonah. Old Ben, old Jonah.
The old men pushed out by new media deciding to build their own new news empire.
Yeah.
I was like, this, I would read a book just this. The fact that the oldest son, Ben, mm-hmm. no, Richard. The oldest son is Richard.
Yeah.
And Mary Jane are in their own little bubble and world, and Peter is now out in the open to his youngest daughter, who's helping him create a costume. There's cute, but there's also a sense of pathos that I was missing in Spider-Man books. I know I want to say this without sounding toxic. My favorite run is the J. Michael Straczynski run, where he's a substitute teacher. He's a little bit more mature.
The beginning of
He still has wild problems and makes really poor decisions, but he has a sense of lived experience about him that I really enjoy. I'm glad that they are telling different stories now in 616, but I did kind of miss this tone and this voice, so I really appreciate it. If you're a fan of it all, then you just feast.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, I agree. This is wonderful. There were a couple of things that sort of does every kid need to have either Richard or May as their name? I feel like every version of their children in different universes is May and Richard and Ben. It's like people name their children things other than the previous generation.
Not Peter.
Clearly.
He is a boring... Jesus. Boring white guy.
I keep talking about what feels like ultimate and what doesn't feel like ultimate to me. And I felt like this was a good opportunity to at least make the ultimate costume slightly different than the 616 costume. This is just the 616 costume. There's even a really adorable little trying on outfits montage that you get from wedding rom-coms. You know what I mean? Or prom rom-coms, and we still wind up with the exact same Spider-Man outfit.
This might be my favorite Spidey symbol. The symbol is completely different.
No.
Yes, it is. There's no head on it.
That is the Steve Ditko symbol.
Is it
slightly sharper?
Oh.
The Steve Ditko symbol was round.
Well, I prefer that symbol. It hasn't been used in a very long time.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. The rest of the book is wonderful. I love the rest of the book. But I'm sitting there going, all right, Richard. All right, May. Did it. Same exact costume. Cool. Why does he have web shooters?
It's all a part of the costume.
Yeah. They're just there's web shooter release triggers, but without actual web shooters. So if you're going to do it that way, at least have it coming out the back of the hand like the symbiote.
It's nanotech. I don't know.
Yeah.
They haven't described how any of it works, which seems they're kind of start to get to with the
reveal at the end was cool.
Goblin of it all.
Well, the goblin reveal, whatever. But like the other reveal,
the goblin that was cool. I'm waving. I'm gesticulating my hand like a rainbow. The goblin of it all.
But yeah, it's delightful, fun. I like seeing older Peter trying to figure out what to do.
So when we talk, two things. When we talk about the ultimate of it all, I think if they change too much or if they go out of their way to make it different, you get something that's wildly over-designed like the Black Panther costume.
Sure.
But then I also think of Ultimate Spider-Man, the OG Ultimate Spider-Man. Spider-Man remained almost a constant, a consistent kind of figure in across the board, just younger.
Yeah.
And the ultimate of it all was everything around him.
Yeah.
In that book. And I'm this feels the same, which I kind of like. There were some times in the Ultimate Universe where they were like, that's clearly just Matt Murdock in the same exact costume.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Spider-Man, I almost prefer it. Like, he is a constant in every like kind of version, and everything else is wild around him, which I'm cool with. And I like this older guy. I dig it. Marco Cicchetto is the man.
Yeah, the art's great.
He's taking a break the next two issues.
Ah, come on.
But I think it's Ibram Robertson, which is, he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome.
Okay, cool.
But they're keeping it stylistically the same. Great. So it's like a, it's a,
so wait, it's a Cicchetto. He only made it three issues?
He's doing six.
Six.
So he this was how it was with Daredevil. He only did three to four in a row, and then like two to three fill-ins, and then three to four in a row. He's the main artist with air quotes, but he can't do a monthly book.
Interesting.
So they,
it's funny because he works digitally.
They fight ahead, three, four in a row, and then some fill-ins, and then three, four, which I'm totally fine with when it's planned. Yeah. I'm totally fine with.
Sure,
Yeah. What's next? Oh, I'm, you know what? One of the books that I really enjoyed the last couple of years was Stray Dogs, which anybody's not read it and loves horror and loves Disney? Question mark? Should give it a try. It's essentially the dogs that were kidnapped by a serial killer or dogs that were taken in by a serial killer. All have their own like dialogue and try to figure out why they're all like away from their masters and living there. What's cool though is it all the dogs have short-term memory loss, which dogs do have. So it's like a murder mystery from the perspective of dogs that don't really have good memories other than senses and smells. It was wonderful. Super good book by Forster and Fleeks.
Yep.
What's her first name?
Forstner and Fleeks. We got Tony Fleeks and Trish Forstner.
Forstner. Yeah. So the book was wildly popular. It was, it's just one series, one and done. And they had like a one shot called Dog Days afterwards. It's really just one mini series. They announced their new series called Feral, which is focused on cats, house cats that are lost and become stray. I don't want to talk about what this book actually is.
Okay.
Because I think it's a fun surprise.
Yes.
Those that are expecting it to be just like a Stray Dogs, but with cats.
Yeah.
It's not the same. However, it is very rooted in horror.
Yes.
Horror cliches and homages.
Yeah.
The art is the same Disney-esque kind of wide-eyed animals that are talking to each other, yet they're in circumstances that make you feel sick to the stomach because... Yeah. Oh, these cats aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this. I like this. And I was shocked at the end, in the end letters. I don't know if you read the letters.
No.
This is an ongoing.
What?
Yeah. No. I thought that this was going to be another, like, you know, miniseries. Yeah. And after reading it, too, I'm not sure how, I can't imagine how long this goes. But he announced, he was just like, hey, the biggest difference is that this is an ongoing, and please send us pictures of your cats, and we'll print them. I was like, okay.
That's funny, because I just tweeted today, and I tagged both of the creators, my cat, Tiger Durden, reading this issue of Feral.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll make it into a book. But I'm totally going to send my cats, pictures of my cats to these people.
That's funny. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's
what cute. Did you think of this book?
It was delightful. I agree with everything you just said. It makes me want to go back and read Stray Dogs, because I never read it. And all I have in shop right now is the second trade paperback, which has the free comic book day and then the two-issue miniseries, I guess.
Yeah, the miniseries Dog Days... It's hard to call it even a miniseries. It's just two oversized issues, and it's vignettes of each of the dogs, either before or after.
Gotcha.
The events of the book.
But yeah, Feral is good. Yeah, and I was surprised too. Even though if you look at the, you know, the given the information on the cover, you're kind of like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do like this, and I think I wish it was kind of an oversized first issue. I think I could have used a little bit more meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think it was delightful.
There's a couple of things that are done in this book, like outside the panel or in the background, that do remind me of a lot of really great horror movies.
Yeah.
Like you get information in passing or in the background and stuff. I'm like, ah, oh, they fucking nailed it.
Yes.
Like, I like this a lot. And I want to say, there are people, there are wonderful, wonderful people that are very averse to animals being harmed in fiction.
Yeah.
Very averse. And I totally appreciate and respect that. Dog Days specifically is surprisingly not that harsh. Some animals may be harmed, but it happens off panel. It happens off screen. It's more of like a heightened moment as opposed to a shock or seeing animals in danger. Yeah. So
this isn't Disney by way of Crossed.
Yeah, this is PG-13.
Yeah.
But it has a like, I wouldn't say, hey, it's a pretty cute animal on the cover, give it to your 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But if you're like a 20-something-year-old that's just like, I can't handle dogs in danger. Like, they're in danger, but it's not on screen. It's actually not that bad. It's not like We Three.
Oh, my God.
You literally see them torn to pits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We Three is... Also, if you can get a hold of We Three, and you love seeing animals in danger...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That book's for you.
If you're a fucking psychopath...
Yeah.
We Three.
Yeah,
actually, they announced today that it's getting a deluxe edition.
Awesome.
I'm totally buying that.
A bunch of tweets recently, people being like, from in the retailer space,
mm-hmm.
People being like, hey guys, anyone know where I can get a copy of We Three? I want to sell it to my customers, but I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
So, wonderful.
Is this year?
Oh my God, 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, my
cool.
dude.
Cool. I'm dying. Anyway, Batman Dark Age, number one. I got this dope-ass cover. Oh, by the way, Ultimate Spider-Man, fresh AF, Feral, pretty fresh.
I think it's... just fresh.
Fresh.
Like, not fresh AF.
Uh-huh.
Fresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Batman Dark Age, presentation is lovely. I've got a cardstock cover by Frank Quitely.
I've got a Mike Allred basic cover with the comic page cover?
Yeah.
Like, it's thinner now.
Yeah.
What's this? Floppy.
And so this is another from the team that did Superman
Space Age
by Mark Russell and Michael Allred and Laura Allred and David Sharp. I really like the cover of this book, man. This
not even
cover,
by the artists.
Frank Quitely, I'm glad to see him. Very cool new costume take.
Not in the book.
Not in the book. Well, it is in the book. It is in the book.
Oh of. Yeah, I guess it is.
It is in the book, sort of. This book was not for me. I thought some of the writing was actually quite clever. I have nothing against Mark Russell.
I love Mark Russell.
I think that his dialogue is pretty fun. There was a couple of scenes where I actually LOL'd, as the kids say, or said 10 years ago. Has the memory loss gotten any worse? How the hell would I know? Like, stuff like that. Let's talk about
the plot of this book.
What is it?
So we start...
old man
crash cut
Wayne.
Media res, yeah. old man Wayne, he has suffering from early stages of dementia in a retirement home. He's a cantankerous old man, kind of a cad. he's asked by his physician to start a journal,
yeah,
because his memories are leaving. Put your memories in it. It's, which is really funny, when she gives him the book, he's like, he opens the pages, it's empty, he's like, seems like a light read.
Yeah.
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 Very, very fun, very cute.
Yeah.
And then he starts to reminisce, and we've read this story a gajillion times.
Yeah.
You're expecting him to retell his origin, which he starts to do, and it's wildly different in every way than the origin we're familiar with.
Yeah.
Now, as written, I was totally down, and this was interesting, and where is this going? And if it's going where I think it is, where it ends, where it puts Bruce at the end, I'm like, this might be really interesting.
Yeah.
I am not a giant fan of Mike Allred's staging.
No.
I like his art.
Yeah.
His action, his staging, his pacing, it just kind of bores me.
Oh my God, yes. And I don't understand it. I don't understand. He has been working for so long. And I just don't understand why. none of the action feels immediate.
No.
There's a scene where a character does like a sidekick, and it just looks like a sticker put on top of a background. That actually happens a couple times. There's Bruce in the cave, and it just looks like a sticker slapped on a background of bats and cave. You know, he's not actually in the scene. It's very frustrating for me because there is so much that I like about Mike Allred's art, but really, yeah,
this is a very contemplative book. Like, there are long, not drawn out, just longer scenes of Bruce having a conversation with a stranger, Bruce learning something from Alfred, Bruce being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He is a entitled TikTok style asshole rich kid.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change. There's a couple of scenes in here where it's just kind of talking heads, boardroom, a waiting room of a police station, a courtroom, that are what, or a comedy club.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful and works. As soon as it steps outside of that and does the kind of quick pacing of it all, yeah, it becomes very dry. One of Mark Russell's other contributors, other partners that he's done a bunch of books with is Steve Pugh. I think Steve Pugh would have been much better service this book than Mike Allred. Mike Allred has a bright colored pastiche stilted kind of 60s feel, and even though that's the era that this book is kind of in, I don't think it services the story.
Yeah.
I didn't finish Space Age. I read the first issue and I was like, okay.
No, wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Just like this wasn't.
But that was less different. Like, this is so far wildly different from the origin. That was just, that first issue was just like, of Space Age was like, I've read this story before. Yeah. This is different, which I did appreciate. So if you liked Space Age, you're going to love this. And I might be interested in reading it some other day. Like, I love Mark Russell. He's one of my favorite writers.
I know.
And he's the only thing that would have kept me on this, because the Allred of it all probably doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm off. Yeah. Barely fresh for me.
Fresh enough. Hey, I want to talk about a book from two masters in this space, the space of comic books, printed periodicals of kinetically drawn
Daring Do?
Jimmy Daring Do. Oh, that's my lawyer name. Jimmy Daring Do. No. Like Bob Blah Blah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Masterpiece number 4, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with art by Alex Maleev.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Who's actually drawing in this book.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Jump back.
One of the conversations happening in like comic Twitter and comic spaces is AI art, as well as like tracing and or repurposing, pictures. People... artists have been doing it for decades. They've been taking available images and reworking them or tracing them and whatnot, and putting them in
Jack
panels.
Kirby.
Yeah, that is not new.
No.
And it's fine. It's when you, like, they don't erase layers, or it's just really, really bad.
Yeah.
Photo referencing is never a problem. It's just the laziness of it. And Alex Maleev, I guess, sometimes in the past has been guilty of...
A little bit.
Going a little too fast.
Yeah. Forgetting to turn off the photo layer he just traced.
Yeah.
In his Photoshop document.
This is not Big Two Alex Maleev. This is I Have Time to Do a Whole 6-issue miniseries on Alex Maleev. So check it out.
I haven't read it. So
this is issue 4 of this series. I don't remember if we talked about the first or second issue, because I was really jamming on this. I know a lot of people have feelings about Brian Michael Bendis, and I respect your feelings, but come on. but come on.
But also,
you can't completely negate his contributions to the medium. Not at all. So this story
is drawing mostly. Nice.
There's some action in here. It reminds me of early, some of his earlier Daredevil stuff.
Yeah,
really good. So the plot of this book is so wonderfully different. There's a young girl named Emma who lives with her adopted foster mom, and in school one day, she's like 14, 15, she draws webtoons. One day, FBI agents show up in her classroom and take her out. You find out that they are fake FBI agents. They were sent by this crazy big movie producer named Zero Preston, who has a beef against her parents who she's never met. Then you find out that her parents were actually the greatest of greatest thieves. All of these movies that Zero Preston produced were stories of theirs, and they had stolen so much from him, and he's now going to take it out of the girl.
That's right.
And her actual name is Masterpiece.
I read this.
You read the first issue.
I read the first issue.
So the whole four issues so far have been this young teenage girl kind of not only coming into her own, but also putting a team together to fuck over this guy.
Ah, oh, I'm in.
Some of it are newer, like people that she knows, like a hacker friend from school, a pickpocket that she knew in juvie, like, and then some of them are her parents' old people. Yeah. So, like, my favorite character is this guy named the Paragon. He is known for the last couple of decades of just walking into rooms and beating the shit out of people.
Oh.
Because he was always the enforcer in a team. So he's like 55, 60 out, and still can whip the shit out of people. So, like, you have these young thugs who are just like, that's the fucking Paragon. Yeah. Like, this is a wonderful and really funny book, and I read it, and I keep... It has the tone and the pace of a really, really great movie, a really, really great TV series.
Yeah.
It is so fully realized that I'm just enjoying the shit out of it.
I really want to go back and catch up with this.
This is a really, really fun book that I don't think anyone's talking about. So the first two issues were a little overly Bendis-y, where it's a lot of people talking over each other, half sentences. You have to kind of get into the staccato of how he writes.
Yeah.
Three and four are just bangers.
Nice.
Like, as soon as we get over the hump of setting the stage, like, just bangers. This has been a really fun series, and I think it's only six.
Nice.
Yeah,
I would
check that out.
Yeah, Duke number four, last book of the week, from Joshua Williamson's Tom Riley and Jordy Belair, mother lover, Mr. Lova Lova. This book is awesome. Transformers is awesome. Cobra Commander is pretty good.
It's fine.
Duke, awesome. it's Transformers, then Duke, then Cobra Commander,
actually,
then Void Rivals.
I like Void Rivals more than Duke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly more original.
Yeah.
Right?
So Transformers, Void Rivals, Duke,
Cobra.
A couple of feet, and Cobra Commander.
But I've been
fucking hater.
I have been reading the original Real American Hero, G.I. Joe, Larry Hama, 1990, not even 90s, 1990 was the date on the book I read last night. And M.D. Bright is drawing it, and what a blast that old G.I. Joe series was, man. It's the stuff that got me into comics, and every 10, 15 years I'll go back and try and read chunks of it, and I have such a blast every time. And this captures that original fun. This is a fun book. Baroness, the big deal last issue is that someone got murked immediately. That was all the headlines on all the comic book channels.
Do we have issue three here? I read it, but I don't remember who you're talking about.
He shows up in this. Turns out not murked.
Oh, gotcha. Mostly murked.
Murkish. Yeah. Mostly dead.
Yeah, mostly.
As you all know, to blave means to bluff. Anyway, this was such a fun son of a bitch ride. What'd you think?
I truly enjoy this book. I do not have the history with G.I. Joe as a comic that you do.
I feel like when the compendium comes out,
I'm probably going to love the shit out of it.
Yeah.
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 Takes
a while to get cooking.
I really like this book, but I'm hard-pressed to imagine if I would like it without Tom Riley.
He's so good.
I think he is 85% of what makes this book special and engaging.
Mm. I'm enjoying the writing.
I'm enjoying the writing, but hot damn.
Yeah,
I don't think if any other artist was on this, I don't know if I would be enjoying it as much. Because there's so much dynamism on this on the page. Like Tom Riley has a
Who is he? Like who what amalgamation of styles is he?
Well, there's sometimes when I'm like, oh, I can see some Darwin Cook influences, and then there's some where I can see like, oh, I can see some Steve Ditko influences. He is
a little bit of Tom Fowler.
Yeah. He's like look at this. Look at this grimace.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
It's so good. Like, the acting, the pacing, the action. This is...
Chris Somni?
There's absolutely some Somni in here.
For sure.
This book would work without dialogue.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say. So I do think that, like, this is a collaboration with Tom Riley
Is he leaving?
On top. I don't know.
Is this a mini?
This is a mini. This is one issue left.
Ah, shit.
So,
really?
I really like this book.
Damn it.
Cobra Commander, I'm one issue behind, but that one has felt, the art is also great.
Yeah.
Really, really great.
Yeah.
But that one has felt more winky winky nostalgia. Like the first issue, just fucking awesome and what the hell is going on? And then it immediately went into cameos of characters I don't even know who they are. This book does the same thing.
I was gonna say.
This book does the same thing. But it has them introduced in the context of what Duke's doing.
Yeah.
So I don't need to know who they are. In Cobra Commander, it's just like people in the woods show up. Like it seems less organic and less diegetic. Whereas in Duke, you're still just following Duke, and everywhere he goes, there is something that kind of like is introduced in it. It's much more organic and seamless in this book.
I'm not having
Cobra
that
Commander.
Trouble. They feel
you have the knowledge. In Cobra Commander.
Sure. But I have the knowledge of this as well. I have all of the knowledge.
And you said you have no problem. I'm saying I do because I don't have the knowledge of who those people are. Because it's like in this, people show up and they say a name and like, oh, I know that's probably somebody.
Yeah.
In Cobra Commander, they show up in a splash page and they're just like, ha!
Oh, I see.
And no one says shit. I'm supposed to know who they are with the guy with the chainsaw.
Like, gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but there's a difference between it being part of the ongoing narrative and just like showing
you just want
up.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Okay.
I want a reason for them to be there, not just they're there now.
This well, gives the me reason, a reason that they're there at Cobra Commander is they're trying to find a certain energy source, and the energy source has taken them to the bayou, which is where the Dreadnoughts live. So they are, the energy
the
source is,
there.
They have it.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Is that issue 4?
I thought it was the issue where we first showed up, but I'm not sure. It all kind of bleeds together for me, honestly.
Yeah, I only read up to issue 3, but
you
I...
Don't, listen,
yeah.
if you don't like it as much, that's fine. I'm just saying...
I'm getting a feeling...
My personal opinion is
yeah,
I like
and
it.
I'm just saying my personal opinion. I think
yours is wrong!
This one is much more seamless and energetic, and I don't need a history. Cobra Commander,
hold
I
up.
Need a history.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What if Tom Riley was drawing Cobra Commander?
Then it would probably be doing the work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would probably forgive it a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, when Transformers that I've never heard of show up in Daniel Warren Johnson's book, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel Warren Johnson, give it
yeah,
me.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And who's the artist for Cobra Commander? He's great. It's like
I
Andrea
don't
something.
Know.
It's really, really good. Looks more like a horror book.
I've never heard of this artist, Andrea Milana. Milana.
Really great work.
Yeah.
Like, the shade I have against Cobra Commander is I think it is a sloppier story than all the other Energon books.
Gotcha.
It's just that's just all.
Fair enough.
Do I think it's garbage? Hell no. Am I still reading it? Yes. I just think it's sloppier.
I'm actually going through issue 2 of Cobra Commander and I'm just gasping at certain pages because I like it so much. Anyway.
Wait, hang on. Let's talk. Do you want to talk really quickly about the next two that have been announced? Are you into this?
So, I only know about one of them, maybe. One of my favorite current writers, Kelly Thompson, who is of Birds of Prey and the 50-issue run of Captain Marvel that just ended.
What's the artist?
She's doing Scarlet, who is also a G.I. Joe.
Scarlet.
Johansson. What,
The other one is Destro.
Destro by whomst?
Dan Waters.
Who dat? Remind me of who that is.
That is the writer. I can't look it up. He's currently, he did Homesick Pilots. He did, he co-wrote, something with Ram V. He's done a couple of horror books. Oh. He also did, the most recent, what is it? The one hand, the six fingers. He
oh,
does,
that him?
He does the six fingers one and Ram V does the one hand one.
Okay, cool.
Like he's got a lot of like, noir and horror bona fides, and he's doing Destro.
Ooh, look at this cover.
Which I think is cool. Who's the artist for Destro?
Andre Bresson.
What's it with the Andres? Andre. who's the art for Scarlet? I think both of these sound wonderful.
Kelly Thompson.
Now, this is a... I do think this is a... How long until we get a G.I. Joe book?
Right?
So we've got a Duke
Marco
mini.
Marco Ferrari.
Never heard of him.
It's I don't know who that is either.
Yeah, well, all right. I'll see. I'll follow Kelly Thompson, though.
To the ends of the earth.
If she says, I'm writing the new phone book, I'm like, yeah okay.
Yeah, man. I was about to ask you, what do you think of the fact that it's a bunch of minis?
It's cool right now, but it's gonna get old soon.
Yeah. We're running out of characters.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like if I end up getting a two parallel miniseries of Tomax and Zaymot, I'm out.
I'm in. Oh my god. I forgot about those dudes. I love Tomax and Zaymot. I put those two action figures everywhere.
I would go with the Chuckles.
Well, of course.
Because I just always think of The Last Laugh. Cobra, The Last Laugh. Yeah.
First time I ever saw Chuckles, drawn by Todd McFarlane.
First time I ever saw Chuckles was drawn by Howard Chaykin.
Oh, God.
I kind of like old Chaykin.
Good. good for you, buddy. All right. So, anything else you're looking forward to this week before we get the frick out of here?
Yeah, I had a whole handful of issues over there. You know, I missed last week, so I have a shit ton of stuff to catch up on that I'm really excited about. Including ASM, Ultimate Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The third issue of Somna came out today, which...
Becky Cloonan!
There's two others. I didn't read any of it yet, so I'm going to read all of it.
I'm excited for Gods.
I'm super excited for Gods. I think it's one of the best mini-series that's out right now.
He's got a new series coming.
It's not a series, it's a one-shot.
Oh, what?
Doom.
Doom.
One-shot.
Oh, is it a one-shot?
Yeah, it's an oversized one-shot that makes with Sanford Green.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, totally in.
Nice. They're finally reprinting the Spider-Girl, Mayday Parker, Tom DeFalco Spider-Girl series.
Never read it.
From
nice.
The early aughts, I think.
There's I'm excited for that. There's a new Sam and Twitch that I'm going to avoid.
We don't like the artist.
I just don't care about Sam and Twitch.
I don't care about Spawn.
Oh my goodness, me
There's
too.
There's another Spawn. There's a Future Spawn coming.
The Future Spawn one is the only one that sounds cool
Rat
to me.
City.
Rat City. It's because it's Erica Schultz. Writing
like
it. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, she's and great. It has nothing to do with Al Simmons, I think. Like, it's just an AI in the future or some bullshit. I'm in.
All right, so tonight on the live stream, we're going to be talking about the X-Men 97 cartoon. First, I got to watch the third episode.
I got to watch the third one, too. Yeah.
Yeah, we should put that on. And something else. What was the other thing?
We're going to talk about Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters after Frozen Empires.
Yeah, Frozen.
Frozen.
Frozen Empire?
Frozen Empire's Answer the Call. Whatever. Yeah.
All right. Join us tonight on Cult Pop on YouTube. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
Doo doo doo.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Oh,
shut
wait.
Up.
What happened?
Hold
no.
On.
Oh,
we got
God.
An email.
Oh, God. Oh, we have an email.
We have an email. Chris St. Saucy, good night. Longtime friend of the show wrote in, and I don't have it ready. I'm here. Say some words.
I'm going to. So, anybody that's been a longtime listener of just the Cult Pop stuff, Chris St. Saucy used to always write in, took a little bit of a break, but
Knows
he's
that,
been
baby.
Messaging us on and off.
It's been a while. Missed the last 2 weeks of fresh floppies, but not as much as you missed.
So did we.
I Heart Skull Crusher. Or maybe you didn't and you read it and just didn't get to talk about it. I read it. And did I not talk about it on the show?
You talked about I Heart Skull Crusher.
Yeah, Josie Campbell.
Yep. Sophie Campbell.
Sophie Campbell. Very, very cool anime-inspired comic. It's a blast. Chris, if you haven't read it yet, also check out Arcade Kings.
Oh, also, Chris, if you haven't read it yet, check out No One Left to Fight.
Yeah.
Those are
That one I haven't read.
Those are all like arcade slash... anime slash Dragon Ball slash Street Fighter kind of pastiches, and they're wonderful.
I don't know author Josie Campbell or artist Alessio Zano, and honestly, this book almost missed me, but it was the top of previews page when I went to see what I was pulling, and boy, am I glad I pulled it. Frey, future Buffy, meets Tank Girl, meets roller derby with fun but not too serious art. It's an easy automatic yes for me. What wasn't so great was Ultimate X-Men. It's staying on my list for now, but the art really doesn't do it for me, and I need it to justify being called Ultimate X-Men. Chris St. Saucy, good night.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? Even though we liked Ultimate X-Men a little bit more than you, you are not alone in that sentiment. A lot of people are really not liking this new kind of take on Ultimate X-Men. And honestly, I don't even know if there's been enough story told to consider anything a take. Like,
it just doesn't feel like it's part of the grander Ultimate Universe at all.
Nope.
It feels like its own little mini series that has nothing to do with anything, but that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it, and it doesn't mean that it won't tie in eventually.
Yeah, I'm curious about how long it'll be like this.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't imagine. So it's written and drawn by Peach Momoko.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their process is like or how quick they are or not. Like a writer artist, something's going to break around 6, 7, 8 issues. I don't know. Like, we'll see.
Yeah.
And this might just be for all we know, Ultimate X-Men is an anthology series now. Who fucking knows?
Yeah. That'd be neat.
There's so much we don't know. Yeah. So, like, when we get into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, feels like Ultimate, doesn't feel like Ultimate, feels like X-Men, doesn't feel like X-Men, no fucking clue right now.
Yeah.
Except Ultimate X-Men, or Ultimate Spider-Man. That's the only one that kind of feels, air quotes, normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm down.
Nice.
Oh, and they just announced The Ultimates, so...
That's right.
Let's go.
By other people I don't know.
Dennis Camp.
Nope.
And
no idea.
Juan Fragueira.
Sure.
Fragueri. Cool. He did Juan Fragueri did all the art for Al Ewing's run on Guardians of the Galaxy, which is good.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. All right, guys. We will talk at you later.
Do do do. I can say it the same. Do do do.
Listening to the Cult Pop Network, home to podcasts, live shows, and a whole lot of fun stuff for every flavor of fan. Follow us wherever you find your favorite podcasts, and be sure to join us live every Wednesday night at youtube.com/cultpopgo at 8 p.m. Eastern. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit the bell icon so you'll know when we drop new Thunder Rounds and episodes of Fresh Floppies, a spoiler-free show about single-issue comics released each week. Until then, we'll talk at you later.